our readings today express, in different ways, a very simple principle. If you're full of yourself, you cannot be full of God. We all want to be full of God. We all seek and desire the divine life to be in us, as our faith promises us is very possible. And so we need to take seriously this call to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves, so that God could raise us up. We know that humility is the foundation of all virtue, and it's the cornerstone of the spiritual life. We hear that very often, and rightly so. But what I'd like to focus on today is how humility relates to our prayer and our worship. Humility, in fact, is the necessary prerequisite for any authentic approaching God in prayer and worship. I think we get a hint of that from our second reading, which came from the letter to the Hebrews. There it speaks about the tremendous experience of God that Moses and the people had on Mount Sinai. This is when the law was being given to them. It's God speaking from the cloud on the mountaintop. And Moses' experience of fright, them saying, no further word should be addressed to us. What Moses experiences is described in these terms. Indeed, so fearful was the spectacle that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. And that was the experience of God on Mount Sinai. Now, the letter to the Hebrews says, in contrast, we, the children of the new covenant, how are we supposed to approach the Lord? What is our experience of Him meant to be like? Are we supposed to have, in contrast to Moses, a more casual approach to God? Well, there in fact is nothing in the letter to the Hebrews to suggest that. Rather, the point is that our experience in the new covenant is much more tremendous and much more awe-inspiring than the experience that Moses had. The passage speaks that our experience is one of approaching Mount Zion, approaching the very dwelling place of God, of being not in an earthly city, but a heavenly one, of having around us the presence not just of our brothers and sisters, but countless angels and all of the just who have gone before us in faith. And taking things to the summit, it says, we encounter Jesus Himself, the mediator of the new covenant. It's meant to be much more tremendous and awe-inspiring than the experience that even Moses had on the mountaintop. So what this brings to mind for me is one way for us to become humble, to become more humble. And that is by cultivating a sense of the sacred within the church's liturgy. The letter to the Hebrews said it's the blood of Jesus that speaks to the people in heaven. And so it is for us. When are we going to hear the Lord? But here, where we receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Eucharist. That is when He desires to speak to us most clearly. And so, to humble ourselves and aid to that is by cultivating the sense of the sacred here in the liturgy. So what is that? What is the sense of the sacred? Very simply put, it's the awe that we have in the presence of something much, much greater than ourselves. As a child, I thought that the movie theater was one of the greatest places on earth. The marquee and the lights and the smells and the sounds. It always made an occasion of real delight and awe for me to go to the theater. There was something different about it. I felt in the presence of something greater. Last week, while I was out east for a wedding, I visited a friend who lived a few miles from Foxborough, Massachusetts, which is the home of Gillette Stadium, where the New England Patriots play. So That's one of the newer stadiums, about 11 years old. It seats 68,000 people. It costs $325 million to construct. And at the risk of being sacrilegious, it was built to elicit the sense of the sacred. It was built so that when you go there, you feel awe and something awe-inspiring, something larger than life is happening there. Certainly, it's a commentary on where our culture is and what it esteems. And you could imagine a tongue-in-cheek rendering of our reading from the letter to the Hebrews, comparing that experience of going to the stadium, to the football game, as compared to the heavenly realm that awaits us. But the sense of the sacred is that which makes us feel small in relation to something of tremendous importance. It makes us necessarily humble ourselves. Of course, we're no longer talking about football here, but our experience of the living God, the God of the universe, the creator of all, the savior of mankind. We have been promised that we can meet him in the church's liturgy. And so we seek to humble ourselves in the liturgy so that God can lift us up. We cultivate a sense of the sacred, of something greater than ourselves, so that we could truly encounter him. So why is the liturgy so sacred? Why is it singled out to be this place of encounter? Well, it's simple. It's because it is where the presence of Christ is in a way that surpasses any other. As the Second Vatican Council tells us in the decree on the sacred liturgy, he is present in the liturgy in four different ways. Perhaps this is something we should have memorized. He's present in the priest, who is ordained to act in the person of Christ. Jesus is present in the scriptures, which are the word of God. And he's present in the assembly. For as Jesus himself said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And the fourth way, and above all, he is present in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist, his very body and blood present under the form of bread and wine. So that's why the liturgy is so sacred, simply because the presence of Christ is here. And because of this presence, everything surrounding the liturgy is meant to be sanctified, to be sacred. That's why we fast before receiving our Lord. We begin to sanctify the time even before we come. That's why we prepare diligently for the Mass. That's why we dress for something special. That's why we come alert and open to what is about to take place. That's why we have all these gestures and prayers and customs and unbreakable traditions. Because the Mass is, as the Second Vatican Council said, the worship of the mystical body of Christ himself. Both the head, Jesus himself, and the members, the church, participate here in this liturgy. And hence, liturgy is, Second Vatican Council says, a sacred action surpassing all others. It's the greatest thing on earth. So that council also helps us to realize that here in the earthly liturgy, we celebrate, we also have a foretaste of the heavenly liturgy. That's what the letter to the Hebrews that we've been talking about is really indicating and pointing us to, that here in our liturgy we are approaching, we participate in the heavenly liturgy. Now the council affirms that the liturgy is not the entire activity of the church. Certainly we are out in the world proclaiming and serving, but it does affirm that it is in fact the summit towards which all of the activity of the church is directed, and the font from which all her power flows. So like the mountaintop, or like the fresh spring of water, the liturgy is meant to inspire humility, the sense of the sacred, an encounter with the living God. We are in the presence of something so much greater than ourselves. A something that has been gracious enough to allow us to approach it. Gracious enough to invite us to the table. That something is greater than the voice from the cloud that Moses heard. It's greater than the temple in Israel, God's dwelling on earth. That something is Jesus Himself, who even said, "Something greater than the temple is here." You know, that's why we had that whole new translation of the Mass, which sought to be more faithful to the original Latin text of the liturgy, and at the same time cultivate a sense of the sacred through language. So, just a few examples. The penitential rite, we now once again entreat God for mercy by humbly acknowledging our fault, our most grievous fault. Or take the Gloria, which builds up to the sense of how tremendous God is, how God is beyond words. We pull out every word in the thesaurus to describe our approach to Him. We praise You. We bless You. We adore You. We glorify You. We give You thanks for Your great glory. All of it is meant to build that sense of the sacred so that we could truly approach the Lord in humility. Now, it's also no surprise that the Second Vatican Council would go on to emphasize that it's necessary for the faithful to come with proper dispositions, that their thoughts would match their words, and that they cooperate with divine grace, lest they receive it in vain. I've spoken before of the necessity to be free of grave sin in order to receive the Eucharist, and of the importance of being prepared before we come to Mass. The proper disposition, lest we receive divine grace in vain. How are you contributing to the sense of the sacred here? In your singing, in your attentiveness, in your prayer, in your dress, in your body language? Do your actions show your humble approach to God, who is present here? Are you bringing your best self to Him? Are you making yourself ready for this awe-inspiring encounter with the Lord of Lords? For you have not approached that which could be touched. You have not approached some earthly activity. Rather, you have approached the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the sacred presence of Jesus Himself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, for He, and only He, can lift you up.